WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Is 2 weeks enough time to find almost $1 billion in the couch cushions? I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson has delayed his annual budget address by 2 weeks. This comes as the city works to come up with ideas to close the nearly $1 billion shortfall that we're facing next year. To dive into this and more updates from Chicago City Hall, we checked in with WBEZ City Government and Politics reporters Tessa Weinberg and Mariah Wolfel. Mariah kicked things off with walking us through just what is supposed to happen with Chicago's budget process.
Yeah, so from introduction to passage, you're looking at usually 5 to 6, maybe 7 weeks for a tough budget. And I think this gives us about 5 weeks between when the mayor will introduce his budget on October 30th. He'll give a big speech about what it does, his priorities for the year ahead. And then we'll go into weeks of budget hearings where aldermen will grill city officials about their budget, what they've done since the last year with issues that they raised. And then aldermen will make amendments to the budget or pitch amendments to the budget if they want to see, you know, an extra staff person added to the clerk's office or something like that.
Yeah.
They're usually not too significant. And then they will try to vote on the budget this year by December 4th. And so this is a really, really tight turnaround.
Yeah.
We've got Thanksgiving in the middle of that.
October is here. Officially.
October is here. You know, we'll probably see Halloween costumes at the budget address because it's happening the day before Halloween, and
this,
aldermen love that.
This is a separate process, Mariah, from closing this year's $223 million shortfall.
Right.
Is that right?
This year, and this doesn't happen every year, but you know, this year the city is facing both a budget gap for 2024, the end of the year, which they, you know, said is $223 million. And then next year's nearly $1 billion budget. The budget address and the process that starts October 30th will largely be dealing with 2025.
Mm-hmm.
The process to close this year's gap is pretty much already underway.
Okay.
The city has, as you know, instituted this hiring freeze,
yes,
which they say will save them $100 million. They are still banking on this pension payment from CPS that they're in dispute about who should pay for non-teacher CPS employee pensions. And so TBD on that, but that's contributing to the hole as well. And so they think that they will be on track to close that budget gap. But that's just kind of an ongoing, less official process that we as reporters will monitor, and that the city will have to, you know, they'll have to close that budget gap.
Why did everything get pushed back 2 weeks?
You know, the administration told us yesterday that they wanted to take more time to collaborate with city council members. This is going to be a really tough budget. Nearly $1 billion. That's not unprecedented, but it is one of the highest budget gaps of the past two decades.
Okay.
You know, it's superseded. The budget gap was higher in 2021 when the city faced a $1.2 billion gap amid COVID, when, you know, Chicago's economy was really battered by the COVID-19 pandemic. Anyways, it's a big budget gap, you know, potential layoffs, furloughs, a potential property tax increase, they're all on the table. And so the administration, one, I think, is just trying to figure out which hard decisions they're going to make.
Right.
And then two, they say they want to be able to talk with aldermen about that. They've got a lobby support for this budget, too. And they've got work to do on that end with their relationships and counsel. And so they're just doing all
that. Sounds like they needed the 2 weeks.
They just need some extra time.
So Tessa, make it clear then, this new timeline and sort of talk about how that is relates with the usual time frame.
Yeah, so this is later than what we would see, you know, in recent years, but it's not unprecedented. In 2020, when the city was facing a $1.2 billion budget gap for the next year, that budget address was delivered October 21st. So, you know, not too much, you know, of a difference. But so now, you know, originally the speech was going to be on the 16th of October. That's pushed back 2 weeks to the 30th. Then we'll have about a 2 week chunk for these budget hearings that Mariah mentioned. So November 6th through the 20th. Mm-hmm. And there'll likely be a break for Thanksgiving.
Right.
And that leaves then the 2 weeks for the budget to really be finalized for alderpersons to propose amendments for some of those negotiations to be happening about some give and take. Yeah. And then if you want that vote on December 4th, then yeah, you only got these 2 week periods. By law, they have to pass a budget by December 31st. So they have up until the very end of the year. But I'm sure alderpersons, you know, the mayor's office, I'm sure everyone wants to get that done before the holidays.
Certainly. Including reporters.
Yes.
Picking up where Mariah left off, those levers that the city can pull to close this gap, Tessa.
Yeah, so the city legally cannot operate on a budget gap, which is why, you know, they have to balance the budget. And so that really leaves Johnson with a handful of options to, you know, tighten departments' budgets, which we're already kind of seeing with this hiring freeze, the limits on overtime. He has to, you know, raise taxes then potentially to find new sources of revenue.
Yeah, raising property taxes.
Yeah, and that's the big one I think everyone's eyeing. You know, that was something Johnson was adamant on the campaign trail. He vowed he would not raise property taxes. He's called that a lazy approach to balance the budget and that it harms working class Chicagoans. But this year, as they've revealed this forecast and as they've been, you know, previewing there's going to be sacrifices made. They've been adamant everything's on the table, including a property tax increase. That's never been off the table.
So does that really include everything? Because the city budget director did say that.
Yes, and she was adamant yesterday when we were trying to ask for specifics. For example, will there be furloughs of city employees? Could there be layoffs? Is there a property tax increase? Mm. And she was like, everything, yeah, means everything.
Everything's on the table. So, Mariah, would the city consider making cuts to the nearly $2 billion police budget and maybe using that money elsewhere?
You know, I think that's going to be a hard sell for Johnson and Alderman. He was hit on the campaign trail about being the defund the police candidate that his opponents tried to paint him as. Mm-hmm. And he said then, you know, adamantly, I will not decrease the budget by one single penny. Last year, the budget, I mean, if you account for inflation, largely like stayed the same. So it didn't really increase. It increased in dollar amount. But if you take into account inflation, it was pretty much flat. And so, you know, I don't know. I could see, I mean, maybe he uses this year with the tough, you know, fiscal outlook to say like we have to cut somewhere. Yeah. But I think that would just be a really hard political sell for Johnson, given, you know, that crime is top of people's minds. It's such a huge issue for aldermen who deal with that on a daily basis and so directly. So that's one way to extend the budget vote and make it a really, really controversial vote. But, you know, we'll just have to see.
Yeah. And as we talk about the police budget, I want to mention WTTW's Heather Sharon's reporting that in the first 6 months of this year, the city of Chicago spent $129 million on overtime for CPD staff. That's nearly 30% more than what was budgeted. And it's happening right at the same time as the city's placing limits on overtime for city departments, part of the hiring freeze and all the things you were talking about. Mm-hmm. There was pushback, though, to applying that limit on overtime to the police department. Remind us of what that was, Tessa.
Right. So when the hiring freeze was announced, they also said the city was going to be limiting non-essential travel and limiting overtime. But they, you know, they were explicit when they announced that police and fire public safety personnel would be exempt from those overtime limits. It was less clear if police and fire were going to be exempt from the hiring freeze. You know, initially, alderpersons, it was their understanding that police and fire were not exempt. There was a lot of outcry. 2 days later, the administration administration clarified public safety personnel required under the consent decree are exempt. You know, we got a little bit of more clarity from the budget director yesterday, and she clarified when we asked, is it CPD and the fire department, are they exempt wholesale? Yeah. Is it only specific positions? If so, what are those? And she said it's really a case-by-case ongoing basis, so that it's kind of fluid, and it's based on, you know, what their priorities are, what their needs are, how realistic hiring is. And, you know, WDTW's reporting shows that this would mean that the city for CPD is on pace to spend at least $258 million on police overtime by the end of this year. And using, though, calculations comparing the overtime spent so far in the 6 months versus 2023's, CPD did spend approximately 21% less on overtime so far in the 6 months of 2024. However, this was, you know, the analysis going to just the first 6 months doesn't include NASCAR, doesn't include the DNC, which I'm sure we're going to see just overtime rack up during those events.
Lots of overtime. So this brings us back, Mariah, to what we talked about earlier. So CPS, right? We're in this $223 million budget shortfall this year. That's in part because CPS isn't making that $175 million pension payment that the city was counting on. A lot of tension, as we know, from that, right, between the mayor and the head of CPS. Give us the very latest on that. I know you're on Pedro Martinez watch as well.
Yeah. So, you know, former Lori Lightfoot instituted this policy and, basically came to an agreement with CPS that CPS would start taking on its share of the municipal pension fund, where a lot of city employees are in. But I think the majority of the employees in that fund are non-teacher CPS employees. So depending on what type of employee you are in the city, there's a police pension fund, a fire pension fund, a municipal employees pension fund. And that one has a lot of non-CPS or non-teacher CPS employees. Right. And so Lightfoot said, you guys should be responsible for paying this. CPS paid it for a couple of years. And then this year in kind of a stunning rebuke, it was kind of stunning that Johnson said he was going to continue that policy just because of his background in school reform and alignment with the CTU. But he said that, you know, yeah, I'm going to continue Lightfoot's policy. I think you guys should continue to make this contribution. The city's, you know, tight on cash too, and we need you to pay for your employees' pensions. And CPS said no and did not budget for that in their budget this year, and so hasn't reimbursed the city for this $175 million. Mm. And the mayor said, look, okay, if you don't have the money, then why don't you take out a loan? And you can use that loan to pay the pension payment, and you can use that loan to give teachers the raise that they're asking for amid these negotiations. And the board initially disagreed to that. CPS CEO Pedro Martinez definitely rejected that, and now everything's in shambles.
Oh boy.
And
literally the right word to use. Listen, we're out of time, but Tessa, we got to know, is the board going to fire CPS CEO Pedro Martinez? What's Mayor Johnson saying? Do you have any insight?
You know, Mayor Johnson has really declined to talk publicly about this. He's used a lot of campaign speak, but then yesterday he was a little more direct and said, when asked if he sought the resignation of Martinez or school board members, said, I didn't ask anybody to do anything.
Yeah.
But really it comes down to, you know, the board is the one that could fire the CEO Pedro Martinez. And that's complicated by, you know, our colleagues at Sun-Times and BZ just reported, you know, even today that there's an ongoing leadership struggle and we might see some resignations on the board, which could totally change the makeup of everything.
Oh boy. We'll just be back here talking about it again next week.
Yeah.
We've been talking with WBEZ's Mariah Wolfel and Tessa Weinberg. Thank you both.
Thanks.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Micah Yason. Reset's here with an inside look into the issues, people, and places of Chicago. If you're interested in hearing more, you can check out more Chicago conversations at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again this afternoon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely